How many women in a black hooded robe could have been running around town last night? Kumori. That would have been maybe 45 minutes or an hour before I saw her at Box. Lamar peered at my face. "You know her," he said. "Not personally, but yeah. What did she do?" His face grew more remote. "She knelt down over him, like straddling the stretcher. Then she leaned down. The robe and the hood fell over them both, right? Like I couldn't see what she was doing." He licked his lips. "And it got cold. I mean, ice started forming on the sidewalk and the stretcher and on our truck. I swear to you it happened." "I believe it," I said. "And the victim all of a sudden starts coughing, trying to scream. I mean, it wasn't like the wounds were gone, but I don't know how to describe it. He was holding on." His face twisted with a sickened expression. "He was in agony, and he was stable. It was like he wasn't being allowed to die." "So the woman stands up, she tells us we've got less than an hour to save him, and then she's gone. Like poof, gone. Like she was all in my imagination." I shook my head. "Then we get him brought in. The docs patched him up and got fresh blood into him. He passed out about an hour later, but he made it." Lamar was silent for a long moment. "That couldn't have happened," he said then. "I mean, I've seen people pull through some bad stuff, but not like that. He should have been dead. Everything I know tells me so. But he kept going." "Sometimes miracles happen," I said quietly. He shuddered. "This wasn't a miracle. There wasn't any angel choir singing. My skin tried to crawl away and hide." He shook his head. "I don't want to think about it." "What about your partner?" I asked. "He drank himself under the table 20 minutes after our shift ended. Hell, only reason I wasn't with him was that I was teaching a CPR class this morning." He looked at me. "That help?" "It might," I said. "Thank you." "Sure." "What are you going to do now?" I asked. "Gonna go find my own table." Lamar stood up and said, "Good luck, man." "Thanks." The big man left, and while I got my prescriptions and filled out the last forms, I thought about what he'd had to say. I got the prescriptions filled at the hospital pharmacy, called a cab, and told him to take me to Mike's to pick up the Blue Beetle. I sat in the back seat with my eyes closed and thought about what I'd learned. Kumori had saved the gunshot victim's life. If everything Lamar had said was accurate, it meant that she had gone out of her way to do it. And whatever she'd done, it had been an extremely difficult working to leave a mystic impression as intense as it did. That might explain why Kumori had done very little during the altercation with Cowell. I had expected her to be nearly as strong as her partner, but when she tried to take the book from me, her power hadn't been stronger than my own muscles and limbs. But the Kemmler Alumni Association was in town with some vicious competition in mind. Why would Kumori have expended her strength for a stranger rather than saving it for battling rival necromancers? Could the shooting victim have been important to her plans in some way? It didn't track. The victim was just one more thug for the outfit, and he certainly wasn't going to be doing anything useful from his bed in intensive care. I had to consider the possibility that she had been trying to do the right thing, using her power to help someone in dire need. The thought made me uncomfortable as hell. I knew that the necromancers I'd met were deadly dangerous, and that if I wanted to survive a conflict with them, I would have to be ready to hit them fast and hard and without any doubts. That's easy when the enemy is a frothing, psychotic monster, but Kumori's apparently humanitarian act changed things. It made her a person, and people are a hell of a lot harder for me to think about killing. Even worse, if she'd been acting altruistically, it would mean that the dark energy the necromancers seemed to favor might not be something wholly, inherently evil. It had been used to preserve life, just as the magic I knew could be used either to protect or to destroy. I'd always considered the line between black magic and white to be sharp and clear. But if that dark power could be employed in whatever fashion its wielder chose, that made it no different from my own. Damn it. Investigation was supposed to make me certain of what needed to be done. It was not supposed to confuse me even more. When I opened my eyes, thick clouds had covered the sun and painted the whole world in shades of gray.